October 22nd, 1962. The world was on the brink of nuclear war.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
President John F. Kennedy addressed the nation on television and announced that the U.S. had discovered nuclear missile sites in Cuba. On the anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis, we explore Seattle's forgotten role in arming a nation for nuclear war. Here's the story from KUOW's Sarah Waller.
Okay.
I'm in a car with Dan Whitmer, heading south along East Marginal Way. It's the same way he came when he worked for Boeing in 1962. We pull into a parking lot across the street from the Museum of Flight.
This all looks quite different than it did when I started working here.
Right inside the parking lot is a chain-link fence. Whitmer points through it to a pile of rubble.
Peeking up above some of this dirt, I can see some painted but rusted metal.
This is the spot he's been looking for, because on top of that rubble sits a dome, about 10 feet across, 3 feet high. It's grayish-green with chipping paint. The dome is a kind of lid, and it's what that lid is covering up that interests Whitmer.
Well, under that lid was a hole about 70 feet deep, an obsolete Minuteman missile silo.
Yes, you heard that right. An obsolete Minuteman missile silo. Whitmer used to work in that silo.
You got down inside the silo by going down a ladder, and it was kind of like going down a ladder in a submarine or something. The missile sat in the middle. Wouldn't say that it was an eerie sort of thing. It was just our place of work.
Hundreds of missile silos like this were being built in rural areas around the country in the 60s. Those had live nuclear missiles inside. This one was different. It was a primary testing site. The idea was that if anything was to go wrong in the field, they wanted it to go wrong here first, just 8 miles south of downtown Seattle, where engineers like Whitmer could come up with solutions. And in 1962, there were a lot of problems to troubleshoot, like the missile's guidance system. That's the system that would get a missile from its launch point to its target halfway around the world. The technology was cutting edge, but it relied on the same ancient navigational tool that mariners once used.
The North Star. There was a little special little tube that came down from the surface of the ground, so they would look up there with a thing equivalent to a surveyor's transit.
And they would point that tube at the North Star, measure angles, shine mirrors, make calculations, and eventually
shine this light beam into the missile
to tell it where to go. But there was a problem.
We're measuring the angles, and we began to find that the angles seemed to change from day to day.
They suspected the misalignment was caused by tidal movement in the Duwamish River, but it turned out to be more likely caused by heavy traffic on nearby train tracks. Another issue Boeing engineers turned their attention to was the silo lids. They wanted to make sure that they would be able to open correctly under all kinds of conditions.
By 1962, they had begun to put some of these missiles out in Montana, and they were worried about the snow piling up on the lid.
The test engineers worried that if too much snow and ice accumulated, the lid might jam and not allow the missile to be launched. Another problem to solve.
So we ended up doing a lot of tests here to develop ways to deal with that. In order to do that, we needed some snow. They ended up getting snow from Snoqualmie Pass and hauled it down here in dump trucks down through Seattle, Georgetown.
They tried installing steel teeth on the lid to crush through the ice, and special bumpers to push snowdrifts aside. And as they worked, a story started circulating among the Boeing engineers. Maybe it was a tall tale. Whitmer's not sure.
They decided to deal with the problem by putting horse manure out in front of the lid so that as it gradually cooked and degraded, why the heat would keep the snow from ever piling up in the first place.
National security down to horse poop.
I guess that's right.
Whitmer says the most exciting challenge came one night when his team kept getting an error that completely stopped the launch sequence. It was a serious problem. It meant that all those Midwest missiles, they simply wouldn't launch should President Kennedy give the orders to attack. It all came down to a tiny red light.
Every other time we tried to make this launch work, this little red light came on. And it's just a happenstance observation, and I said, what controls that light?
He pored over computer diagrams.
We worked on it for a week or so.
And finally?
One night on a second shift.
He traced it to a glitch in the programming logic.
Called up the design engineer. And
problem solved. And that's what Whitmer loved so much about troubleshooting the Minuteman missile.
I like solving a puzzle, you know, just solving a crossword puzzle or a number puzzle or something.
A puzzle capable of wiping out humankind. But Whitmer didn't think about it that way in 1962, as the world held its breath to see what would happen in Cuba.
Maybe my engineer's mind told me that the use of it was completely out of my hands, and my part was such a small part in developing it that if I were not going to be doing it, somebody else would be.
The Minuteman missile program is still going on. It's one of the longest-running military contracts in U.S. history. But this defunct silo, right in Seattle's backyard, nobody seems to remember it. Except for a few remaining engineers who used to work inside, under what is now a heap of rubble and rusting metal off East Marginal Way. I'm Sarah Waller for KUOW.
What a story. If you want to see a photo and a satellite map of that silo, go to KUOW.org.